Hi, I'm Melody Wilding, human behavior professor, executive coach, and the author of Managing Up, How to Get What You Need from the People in Charge. I'm excited to share with you five key insights from the book. Insight number one, managing up is not about making your boss's life easier. It's about taking control of your own work experience. We often equate managing up with sucking up. Knowing your boss's coffee order, agreeing with everything they say, jumping at every urgent request. Turning yourself into a professional yes person may have been enough to get ahead 10 or 20 years ago, but things have changed. We're working in a world of hybrid teams, instant messaging, and four generations collaborating side by side. A world where your leader might be younger than you, where expertise matters more than hierarchy, and where FaceTime happens through Zoom. In this new reality, you need to get buy-in for your ideas, even when budgets are tight, to have strong boundaries when yet another task is dumped on your plate. Let's face it, there will always be managers who are scattered, conflict avoidant, or terrible at giving feedback. But when you master managing up, you're no longer at the mercy of their limitations. So this is why managing up is not about your boss at all. It's about you doing your best work and securing the resources, opportunities, and recognition you deserve. Your career growth and peace of mind at work don't only depend on how you perform your responsibilities, but how effectively you advocate for yourself, influence decision makers, and design the conditions for your success. The moment you shift from how can I please my boss to how can I partner with my boss to achieve my goals and theirs, new possibilities open up. By stepping out of the order-taker mentality and into a respected advisor role, you're leveling the playing field. Insight number two, there's a method to managing up. If you've been told that you need to get better at influencing upward, then you've probably received some of this advice. Come with solutions, not problems. Build trust with leadership. Anticipate their needs. Make them look good. Be proactive. These pithy one-liners sound good, but tend to be oversimplified and fall apart the minute things get complicated or don't go as planned, which, if we're honest, might be often. You don't have time to duct tape and shoestring scattered strategies together, and it's not going to work for long. That's exactly why I developed the 10 conversations framework you'll find in the book, to give you a comprehensive, systematic roadmap to master the skill of managing up, where each step builds on the next. When I say conversations, this includes those overlooked opportunities and interactions we have every day to shape our leader's perception of us. Like that 2 minutes before everyone else joins the meeting when it's just you and the VP making small talk. The book begins with the most foundational conversations. Alignment. How do I know which tasks are most crucial to focus on? Styles. How can I work with different personalities? Ownership. What can I do to present and go after my ideas without overstepping? Boundaries. What do I say when my manager dumps yet another task on my plate? And feedback. How do I voice my opinion and deliver criticism up the chain of command? These conversations give way to more advanced ones later in the book. Networking, visibility, advancement, money, and eventually the quitting conversation. Insight number three, psychology is your secret advantage. You know those moments at work that just make you want to pull your hair out? Like when your boss needs 3 meetings to make a decision that feels obvious to you, or your brilliant idea gets shot down yet again because you didn't build enough consensus, or your promotion gets delayed despite your team's record-breaking quarter. It's tempting to throw your hands up, to label your boss as difficult, to take it personally. But here's what my career as a researcher and coach has taught me. When we say someone is difficult, what we often mean is that they're different. They process information differently than we do. They make decisions in a way that feels foreign to us. They have pressures and priorities we can't see. Until you understand what actually drives decisions at the top, the hidden incentives, the competing agendas, the unspoken fears, until you understand that, you're just throwing tactics at the wall and hoping something sticks. Every strategy in this book is grounded in the science of persuasion, trust building, and more. Because as you rise in your career, how you handle the people dynamics around you gives you an edge. Instead of getting frustrated that your big picture boss cares about the details, you lead with the vision. Instead of feeling dismissed when your risk-averse leader seems resistant, you address their concerns before they even voice them. Instead of getting frustrated when an action-oriented executive shoots down your idea mid-sentence, you lead with the bottom line and save the context for follow-up. Insight number 4, go beyond your boss. Think about your last major project. You probably had to coordinate with stakeholders across 3 different departments. Your resources might have been controlled by someone you never even met. And that promotion you want, it's likely being decided by a committee. The truth is, your boss might be your biggest advocate, but they're just one voice in a chorus of different decision makers that are shaping your career. I see this reality check hit people really hard when they come to me feeling frustrated. And they say, I don't get it. My boss loves me. So why do I keep getting passed over? 9 times out of 10, it's because they've invested everything into just that one relationship, while ignoring the broader network of other senior leaders who influence their success. Today's workplaces are a complex web of dotted lines, matrix reporting, and cross-functional teams. When it comes to internal networking, focus on 3 groups. Connecting with decision makers who control resources and opportunities, power peers who are rising stars across the organization, and behind-the-scenes operators who make everything actually happen, assistants, HR, IT. Use what I call the info-ask strategy. Before you can ask for something like career sponsorship or resources, start by asking for information. Maybe it's best practices from that VP whose project you want to join, insight into how approvals really happen from that senior director, or vendor recommendations from that influential peer. This approach does 3 powerful things. It signals respect for others' expertise. It demonstrates a genuine desire to learn, not just take. And it creates a natural follow-up opportunity to share how their advice helped you. Insight number 5, you teach people how to treat you in the workplace. It's easy to feel powerless at work. The latest reorg shifted your role. Your team's headcount got frozen. Your skip level keeps scheduling over your focus time. During the last few years, the number of professionals who believe they have little to no control over their careers, futures, and work relationships has doubled. A staggering 40% of workers grapple with a sense of helplessness. But here's what most people miss. Every interaction is a chance to subtly shape how others treat you. When your boss gives you that last-minute project, you have a choice. You could just say yes and reinforce that your time doesn't matter, or you could say, I can take this on, but it means pushing back the Q2 planning work we discuss. Which would you prefer I prioritize? This simple trade-off shows you're strategic, not just accommodating. When an executive criticizes your work in front of the team, you could stay quiet, teaching them that that behavior is acceptable. Or you could say, could we discuss these concerns one-on-one? It would better help me understand your expectations. This shows you're professional while setting a clear boundary about how you expect feedback to be delivered. You have more power than you realize to shape the dynamics around you. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you found value in these insights, and I hope you enjoy the book.